This is Message, M. 125. The Holy Ghost Sabbath. A word given by Cecil J. DuSeal, August 8, 1973.
Glad to see you all once more. I've been aiming to get here for a long time, and praise God. It's just God's time, so we're thanking God to be here. We have been having a very good response to the gospel all over the country, maybe California, just recently, and we've been in Illinois, northern part, you should say, or central Illinois. It's Bloomington, Peoria, and God has been moving among those people. And the word for the end time, as we see, is the most important word now, because we are in the end time. We have the gospel as it was preached in Paul's time, for instance. It's a good gospel. It was God's word for that time, and yet there was so much in the Bible which didn't really happen, and those times were still pointing on to our time when these things should come to pass. So we of the end time must realize that we are not preaching another gospel, but the development and the fulfillment of the same gospel. It's the same old time gospel that God gave to Adam. Now, I'm sure you never heard that one before. But we are sure God gave Adam the gospel. Adam used to walk and talk with Jesus Christ in the garden, and God did give Adam the gospel. But as a matter of fact, that's what made Adam know that God was going to send a savior and a deliverer. And that's why Adam taught his sons that God was going to send a deliverer. But in our time, we have the fulfillment of the gospel. We are coming to the fulfillment of the gospel. The word of God is written in dimensions. And there are basically three dimensions, just as in the natural. No matter what you do, you cannot see more than three sides at a time. You can't see more than three sides of anything at a time. And as you look at this figure on the board, you will realize that you can only see three sides. Now, the other sides would be as this dotted line show here. Let me see if that looks all right. Yeah, that would be the four sides. But nobody can see the four sides of a thing at the same time. And the three dimensions of the Word of God that God has given us, we are at the bottom now, at the third dimension. So the first word we got was a natural word. The second word was a spiritual word. And this third word is the perfection of the natural. It passed through three stages. So when you take up your Bible and you read the Word of God, you must decide in your heart or in your mind whether you are thinking of the natural side of the word or of the spiritual side of the word or of the perfection of the word, what it shall be. Amen. God bent down, took clay together, put it together, made an image. And then he breathed into the image, and the image became a living soul.
and a man stood on his feet. He was a natural creation. But God, afterwards, sent down his only begotten Son in the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost planted the seed of the Son into a woman, and the Son came forth a spiritual man. And so the spiritual was next. But this was only a transition to the man that God was making. The man that God saw when he said, "Let us make man." He saw a perfect being going on, but it was at the end of time. Amen. So, in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 9, we see Brother Paul speaking in the full power and authority of the Spirit. He wrote this: "Having made known unto us the mystery of his will," so that this was a mystery. Amen. "But having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself," verse 10, "that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him." Now, what's he saying? He's saying that there was a great mystery which the fathers, the prophets, had not known, but that this mystery not was revealed to us by Jesus Christ, but it was revealed to us in him. And what was it? It is that in the dispensation of the fullness of all of God's times, you notice it said times, one time, two times, three times, he said that times of God would come to a head, a fullness, a judgment, a finality. And all these times come down into their fullness. And what does it produce? It produces a one-man company. A one-man company. Not brought together by ecumenism. Not brought together by church membership. That is, we all could join the same church and become one. Not brought together by any other action, but in Jesus. Amen. Not by, but in. In other words, if I'm going to meet you, I'm going to meet you because I am in Christ and you are also in Christ. If we are at loggerheads and at variance, it means that somebody is not in Christ. For in Christ there is no division. Now, isn't this terrible? To know that all the people who are fighting together, "I'm right, you are right, this one is right," that it means that none of them are in Christ. That's why they are fighting. For there's no fighting going on in Christ. So, this dimensional word, God started with the Jews, a natural, physical people. And God began to use the Jews like I am using this blackboard here tonight. And so the Jews were the elect of God according to law. Amen. But when the law passed, their legal election ceased. Amen. But is the law passed? And I'll ask you the question. because every soul is going to answer that in his own heart. The law of the Sabbath, for instance, is the law of the Sabbath past. God said the Sabbath was an everlasting Sabbath from generation to generation. And God spoke of the Sabbath in this wise, that the Sabbath would continue forever. Amen. Now I ask you the question, is the law of the Sabbath past? Yes, but why? How? What happened to it? The only way one word, one jot, or one tittle can pass from the word of God is if it is fulfilled. Now, if the law of the Sabbath is fulfilled, where is it fulfilled? Where? In the law books? Oh, you say in Christ Jesus and the cross. But then if you tell me that, I'm going to ask you how. Because when Jesus Christ died, he made a way for men. And if you don't take that way, you are not in his grace. Therefore, the law of the Sabbath was completely put aside when it was fulfilled in Jesus Christ on the day of Pentecost. You believe that? Turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 28, verses 11 and 12. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Now, the Bible says here that God offered certain people a rest, or the rest, and they would not hear it. But he said that the people who were offered the rest were the people who were speaking in stammering lips and another tongue. Look now with me. Is that what you see there? He said, for with stammering lips and another tongue would he speak to this people to whom he said, this is the rest. So it means that the people to whom God said, this is the rest, they are the people who received the stammering lips and another tongue. And what people did receive stammering lips and another tongue? Check your whole Bible and tell me which people received stammering lips and another tongue. Pentecost. That's the time when stammering lips and another tongue began in the church. So this is the people then who got the rest. Now if you had the slightest doubt, let me turn you to Hebrews. Turn to Hebrews. And let's read chapter 3, but let's read a few verses from chapter 4. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. There was a promise of rest, a promise of Sabbath, and the promise of Sabbath was not fulfilled to those who had the seventh day. For in the natural, the seventh day was what we call Saturday. And in the spiritual, the Sabbath was the Holy Ghost. Amen. Can you see that? Let's look at it again. Verse 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest. Amen. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. In other words, Saturday, Sabbath, was made from the foundation of the world. So if that was the rest, God couldn't go again and swear that some people wouldn't enter when they had the Sabbath, the Saturday Sabbath. So God was saying that the Saturday Sabbath was only a type of the rest. Amen. Was the first word as far as Sabbath is concerned. Amen. Now the last word as far as Sabbath is concerned is that you're going to enter into perfect rest, into 1,000 years of complete rest. The whole earth will be undergoing the seventh day, the 7,000-year God Sabbath. So you can see the three Sabbaths really put down there in a simple fashion. Now, let us first consider again what I am saying. In the first Sabbath, the law said that the penalty of breaking the Sabbath was death. In the physical, the natural. A man could be slain in the natural and still got eternal life. Are you with me? When Joshua was going to kill Achan for burying the Babylonish garment under the tent and causing all Israel to turn back before their enemies, Joshua said to him, repent. Yes, told him to repent before they stoned him. Told him to be sorry for it and to give God the glory. And while he was glorifying God, they stoned him to death. So a man under the natural, he could sin a sin unto death. He could be slain, and then he could go off and accept Jesus as his Savior even while he was dying, or before that, when he knows he's going to die. I've seen many a murderer who had been put up for execution accept Jesus Christ before they execute them, and a Christian went to the execution rather than a murderer. Now, here we are in the second one. What is the penalty for breaking the Sabbath? It's got to be death. This time, not physical death, but spiritual death. For God said, if the Holy Ghost departs from you, there is no repentance. He said, if you commit a sin against Jesus, you can live. If you sin against the Father, you can live. If you blaspheme, but if you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, you die. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is our Sabbath, and blasphemy is the end of a sin called breaking the Sabbath. Now, can you understand that? Let me go over it just a little. The Holy Ghost, so many people we know receive the Holy Ghost. And they are taught how not to obey the Holy Ghost. It's peculiar. But many people want to receive the Holy Ghost because it makes you talk in tongues. And because it is popular in the church. If you are in a church where everybody believes in the Holy Ghost, you want the Holy Ghost. But most people received the Holy Ghost and never did obey him. For the Holy Ghost came into your life not to make you speak in tongues, but to take over your life. and to change your whole nature inside. Hallelujah. And to bring forth the new birth within you. Now somebody said, I was born again when I was saved. Yeah, but you can say that because it's a shortcut, you know, to say you were converted. What really happened to you? You were converted. You see, you were converted. Now, converted from sin, from a sinner to a Christian. And that's all. And you did not receive Jesus when you got saved. What you received was God's life. Was Jesus' life. That's what you received. He left that there for you. He left the blood here for you. And you received the blood. But he gave you power to what? To become sons of God. My goodness. Doesn't that mean that you were not sons of God? If I give you power to become sons of God, that must mean that then your believing did not make you sons of God, but it was the power to become a son of God. So, as we see here, we look again at the Sabbath. We see that the breaking of the second Sabbath is the rejection of the Holy Ghost. Now, you ask me a question, how do we reject the Holy Ghost? How is it? How that done? Simple, brother. You start going down the street here, and suddenly a thought came to you that you should stop. And you didn't stop, and you just barely missed an accident. And you realize if you had stopped, you would be much safer. The next time you're going down the street and you get a feeling to do something, you're going to do it. Or if you don't do it, it will be probably just a little worse. You'll get into an accident. But that can go to the point where you lose your life. Many are people who lost their lives. It's not that the Holy Ghost didn't warn them. It's just that they didn't take the warning. One night we were coming down the street. We were rushing to get to service. It was dark. As a road we didn't know. It's the first we were driving on that road. There was a slow truck before us, chugging on. It would take us probably an hour to get where we were going, and which is just about a 20-minute run. And so it seemed a very long time that we were there behind the truck. Then the two vehicles that were before us pulled out from behind the truck and started to pass the truck. We said, oh, let me wait until they fully pass the truck. But when they were almost at the head of the truck, ready to turn in, I pulled out. And when I was midway in the middle of this long truck, suddenly I saw them dart in before the truck. I mean, just like something was wrong. But before that, the Spirit said to me, look over to your left. And when I looked over, I saw a steep bank, plowed fields over there. And, you know, something said to me, you might have to land over there. Well, I took it in my mind, well, if anything, boy, I'm going right over. And before I could think any more, a truck was right before me coming at 60 miles an hour. I tried to pull the brakes. It was so wet. I couldn't get behind that truck before this other truck. The truck and I met in the middle of that other truck, and I was on the left-hand side of the road, and it was a narrow little road. There was nowhere else to go. But I remembered that the Spirit had told me that safety lies over the bank down there. So I didn't hesitate. I didn't hesitate. I had a full foot to spare when I had turned over there. And the truck man, he just couldn't stop. If he touched his brake, his truck would jackknife into the other truck and so on. And I just went right over as calmly as anything down into the field. Amen. And we worked our way out afterwards. But I just want to show you how the Holy Spirit is your Sabbath and your rest. And if you can rest in Him and relax in the Holy Spirit and do nothing, don't do your own works. There's always the temptation to do something. Man, why are you sitting here? Do something, man. I am saying to you, do nothing, man. Just let the Holy Ghost do it for you. And if you can rest in your Holy Ghost, which you have in you, then you will be exercising your Sabbath rights. You will actually be resting in God's Sabbath. And this is the second word pertaining to the Sabbath. Now, every word has three dimensions in its basic form. Then those three are cut up. The first one is the flat plane, the natural word. The second one is the vertical, the horizontal plane, lined this way. And the third one is the vertical plane. Yeah. See, height and depth and length and breadth. And so, when people receive the Spirit, the Spirit of God comes into you for one basic reason. Everything else is side effects. The church teach you that when you receive the Holy Ghost, he comes to endue you with power for service. But that is only a side effect. How are you going to have power for service out there if you don't have power for resisting sin inside here? This is the kind of thing that we are used to seeing. People can't live righteous at home, yet they go outside and leading other people and teaching other people how to live righteous. It's impossible. You cannot teach anybody to do anything above what you can do. You know why? Christianity is not theory. It is reality. And you have got to have the reality of God within you before you can project this reality to other people. And a man cannot live on words. My. You teach him doctrine, you drum it into his head, he knows it by heart, and he does the wrong thing. And he keeps on doing it, and the very doctrine you teach him, turn around and condemn him, because he got the thing inside his mind, but he can't do it. Can't live like that, because he has not got the reality of God deep down in his soul. So, we see then that the Holy Ghost is the second Sabbath of God, which God ordained for us, so that when you receive the Holy Ghost, when you begin to live in the Holy Ghost, come on now. I'm not talking about the Holy Ghost living in you, because the Holy Ghost lives in some of us and he's having a hard time. Yes. We push him in the back room and we lock him up there. And we said, Holy Ghost, church time now. I want you to come out. And we loose him out at church time. And we said, now is my business. I'm going to do my business now. Holy Ghost, you just stay behind here. Let me handle this fella. You see. So we give the Holy Ghost a hard time in our lives. And it's not then receiving the Holy Ghost which is living in the Holy Ghost. When you live in the Holy Ghost does not only live in you, but he rules you. That's where you live. Amen. See, when the Holy Ghost lives in you, then you rule him. we've got the Spirit, we've got the Spirit. It's true, you've got him. We're talking about his getting you. Amen. Yeah. So many people go around boasting that they have the Holy Ghost. We've got it. Yes. And they do not live in the Spirit. And the Bible said, if you don't live in the Spirit, you shall fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. So if we see that we are fulfilling the lust of the flesh, then it's very simple. We know we are not living in the Spirit. So all you have to do is to go and submit yourself under the mighty hand of God and begin to live in the Spirit. But these are words. These are words. You want something better than that. How do I live in the Spirit? It's so simple that it's not funny. You hear a suggestion in your heart. Amen. And you say, oh, Chuck, it's my own mind. I'm not going to do it. And you don't do it. The Holy Ghost keeps talking to you until he has to use other means. Have you ever seen the Holy Ghost use other means on people? He makes the chair talk to you, for instance. Amen. He makes something outside there talk to you. He makes circumstances back you in. What a shame. What a shame. Men and women with spiritual ears, and yet we have to allow God to handle us like cattle to get us to understand what he is saying. When you receive this Sabbath passes away. Amen. Now what are you saying, Brother Dusil? Are you saying that the people who are saved and don't obey their salvation, they are in effect living under the first Sabbath? I say they are breaking the Sabbath. That's what it is. Sabbath breakers, if you continue with that, you lose your life. Because the Holy Ghost will go on and on and on and on. Amen. Until he has to withdraw. It's possible that the Holy Ghost can withdraw from a person who is filled with the Spirit. Apart from knowing this from the Bible, I have seen it happen. Amen. I've seen it happen. I've seen a mother who prayed and got women together and fasted and prayed that God would send a man into that town so that they could have a church and so on. And when I went in that town, I found a band of praying women being led by one precious sister. And the church was built, and the town was really blessed by this ministry. Then the woman got a cancer in her abdomen. And instead of going to God for help, she turned to the devil. And she went to all the sorcerers to seek help. She couldn't get any. She tried all the hospitals and all the doctors. She couldn't get any. They sent her home to die. And when they sent her home to die, she was there. And the Lord said, go down to her and pray with her. So we went down Sunday afternoon. We lay hands on her, pray for her, and there was a quickening. And the woman had cancer in every organ of her body. That's what the doctors say. They say it was just impossible after cobalt treatment and all manner of treatment. They say it's just impossible. She cannot live. She must just go fix up her business, fix her will, and die. And the woman jumped off the bed and started dancing and praising God. She had brought that church into that town by her prayer and her fasting, and God was being faithful to her, and she was completely healed. Monday morning she was outside washing her clothes and doing her chores. And she continued like that for 2 years. And then she began to go back to sin. And she went back into sin so viciously that she was again taken with cancer. You see, when God heals you, you could go back again and do the same things that you did first to make yourself sick and get back sick again. That has nothing to do with the fact that God did heal you one time. She got sick again. It says after 2 years. And this time, we went over as usual and pray for her, and nothing happened. We pray, nothing happened. Church fasted, nothing happened. And this woman, by this time, had developed into a great sinner. And she went on, and the doctors again say, "You're going to die." And I stood up with my ears and heard that woman curse God. That you wouldn't believe that it's God she's talking about. And she cursed God, and she said God could do better than that. She said God could heal her if he wanted to. And she cursed him the fiercest words you can ever think of. And she died cursing God. Now she didn't go to heaven. Yet I knew the day when she was filled with the Spirit, when she prayed for the sick and they recovered, when she moved in the Spirit of God. So you can reject the Sabbath unto death, even as the time of Moses. You can do that now at this time. So here we are with a situation. The spiritual Sabbath is more dangerous than the natural Sabbath. Because you could reject the you could do wrong on the natural Sabbath under Moses, and although you die physically, you could still live spiritually. When Jesus come back to preach, you could still accept Jesus. When he preached to the spirits in prison. Amen. But in the spiritual Sabbath, you cannot break God's spiritual Sabbath and live. Amen. And when God say you break the Sabbath, he doesn't mean you make a mistake. You cannot commit the sin of blasphemy, which is driving the Holy Ghost away by a final rejection of Jesus. You cannot commit that sin by mistake, by error, by failure. That's a deliberate sin. And so we see here this Sabbath superseding this one. But then this Sabbath is also going to be superseded by this Sabbath. For in this Sabbath we have gifts of the Spirit. We speak in tongues. We prophesy. We heal the sick. We have all these discernment gifts and everything. But in this Sabbath, we will be the gifts. Amen. We will be the Spirit and the Word in one. Now let's see what I'm talking about. You have the Spirit, don't you? You have the Word of God, don't you? But the time will come when you will be the Word of God. Amen. And you will be the Spirit manifestation of God on earth. Amen. So this is the perfect Sabbath into which God has called man. And so when he gave them this Sabbath, he said, I'm giving you an everlasting Sabbath. But he didn't tell them anything about the development of such a word. So every word that God gives, though the word might be in the natural, it is an everlasting word that goes on into a development in the spiritual, and even into perfection the word goes. Can you see that? Therefore, the man who takes up his Bible and says, I believe what the Bible says, anything the Bible says, I believe it, he's lying to you. If he tells you that in the natural, he's lying to you. You know why? Because you can open your Bible even at random and read something there, and he says, well, the meaning of that is, you know, so and so. The Bible is a spiritual book, and everything you see in the natural, in your Bible, it has a spiritual meaning. Amen. I was preaching something about the tabernacle, and somebody come against me, and the poor brother that came against me, he was saying that this is 1973. This is, we are in grace. We are in Jesus Christ. I should get up and just talk about Jesus Christ. I shouldn't talk about the tabernacle. I said, but who you think I am talking about when I talk about the tabernacle? Everything in the tabernacle, in the Old Testament, is written of Jesus. I just say everything, brethren. Every living thing in the Old Testament is written about Jesus. And if you don't see it, that doesn't make it wrong. For years we have not seen this. But then Jesus Christ began to open it to us. Jesus in John chapter 7 and verse 38 and 39. He said in verse 38, he said, if any man thirst, let him come. 37. Said, every man thirst, let him come and drink. And he said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water, as it was written in the scriptures. And I said, who? Which scripture that? What scripture says that out of my belly rivers of living waters are going to flow? And as I stand here now, I can think of two scriptures that say it. The first one is in Ezekiel 47. And it says that the living waters were flowing from under the temple. And the second one, you want to find it in Zechariah. Zechariah 14, 8, and it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them towards the former sea, and half of them towards the hinder sea, in summer and in winter, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. Praise God. And the word Jerusalem there is referring to the people of God. For I can show you another scripture which says that Jerusalem is his people. So you can well see from the word of God here that Jesus himself used this, a natural word, speaking of a natural temple, speaking of waters flowing out of this natural temple. And then it meant something in Jesus. He said, out of your bellies. But before that, he said, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. And if he drinks from my fountain, he will become a fountain. Amen. So Jesus was showing you the progression. It's first of all, he was the spiritual fountain. Then you become, that's the perfection of the word, you become the spiritual fountain. Amen. He said, I am the light of the world. Then you are the light of the world. You see, I am the living bread. And he turned around and he said, you are the bread. So when you take communion, what are you doing? Who are you eating? Come on. When you take communion, and you take a loaf of bread and break it. I don't believe in the wafer business. The wafer business is not showing what Jesus Christ meant to show. What he meant to show is that all of us comprise one loaf. Look at it. 1 Corinthians 10. We are all one loaf. I'm just dealing with the dimensions of the word, how the word of God is broken up in different dimensions, and how we can understand it. Yeah. Look here. 1 Corinthians 10. Verse 16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Now he's going to explain it. For we, being many, are one bread. We are the bread. And one body. For we all are partakers of that one bread. Then he gave you an example in the natural. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifice is partakers of the altar? He's showing you here, the one bread was first Israel. Then in the spiritual, we become the one bread. And so when you take communion, in effect, you are saying you and I are one. Therefore, you are part of this bread and I am part of this bread. The bread, the same bread that makes a part of my body is the same bread that makes a part of your body. We are all of one lump. Therefore, you cannot take communion with devils and at the same time take communion with God's people. You'll be mixing both. You'll be saying to the devil people, I'm one of you. I'm part of you. And you'll be saying to the God people, I'm part of you. I'm one. So in somewhere you're lying. That's what God meant. And he said, for this cause, many are weak and sickly among us. And many sleep because they discern not the body of Christ. They don't see the body of Christ. Amen. Now, let's look at this thing just a little more. That we are dealing with the dimensional word, the three dimensions of the word. Now, don't tell anybody that I said the word has only three dimensions, because it has so many dimensions that no man can count them. But three is the number of God's divine order. And when God put a thing in order, you go look at it. See if you don't see it divided in three parts. And if you look at each part, you'll see each part divided in three. And if you look at each three, you will see that each three is divided in three. Amen. So you can understand what I'm talking about. God, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Man, spirit, soul, body. And the atom is the very smallest particle of man is made up of three parts. So you can understand what I'm talking about. Now, we find that the waters were flowing out of the right side of the temple. Jesus Christ was wounded in his side. And the wound in his side flowed out as life to the world. And the people of the world became his bride through the life which flowed out of his side. So then Jesus got his bride from his side. And Jesus is saying to you that again living waters are going to flow out of you. That means that we also are going to be wounded, and out of our bellies will flow forth living waters to feed the world, a thirsty world. So it's God, it's the word of God showing you the development of the word. Never take a word and say it is a dead word. It means so and nothing more, and this is it. Amen. Anytime you do that, you stop yourself from gaining the greater blessing that God has ahead of you. For as soon as you understand the word, God's going to tell you more about it. And when you did nothing about the word, that means you don't understand the word. Can you see that? Now, praise God. To carry out the fullness of this word, I'm just using this one word to show you the dimensional word of God. The third dimension of this word is 1,000 years of Sabbath rest. We have 1973 since Christ, since Jesus. Now, 1,973 since Jesus, we had 4,000 years before. Before Jesus, 4,000 years. Since Jesus, 1973. So that means we are in the 6,000th year, or the 6th day. The moment we turn over 2001, we are gone into the 7th day. And this is God's Sabbath. When God made man, the first day that God made man, man rested. You ever thought of that? God made beast the same day he made man. The beast and the false prophet are going to come forth first. When you see the abomination of desolation, God said, he said, that's the time for you to get up into the mountain. So when you see the beast manifested on earth, that is the time that God is going to make his man. For God made beast first and man afterwards. But I want you to know that both beast and man were made the same day. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying that the work, whatever time we have left before we hit that, in that time, God is going to bring forth the beast, and he's also going to bring forth his man-child, his son. And this, the first day that man lived, it was a day of rest. No work. God's Sabbath. So we'll come into this 7,000-year Sabbath as God's perfect will for man. Man will be in the image and the likeness of Jesus Christ. So this will be the first fruits to God, for God has never had one man that has come forth in perfection. You said, brother, this is what about all those brethren that are gone on to heaven? Not one of them is perfect. Not one hit perfection. They are in heaven, and they are learning, and they are at school, just as you are at school. We are at school, we are learning every day more and more, and so are our brethren who are gone on. They are learning more and more, and we won't go before them. But every man who has come into his order, he will come with us. In our order, he in his order. Can you understand what I'm saying? I'm saying that the resurrection has many orders. It's not click and we all go. Amen. As we have been taught by the church system. But the resurrection is going to be every man in his own order. And it depends on what order you belong to, where you will fall in the resurrection. So in this perfect realm, the resurrection will be between here, and we will rise to reign and rule with Jesus Christ. This is the third word on the Sabbath. Amen. I expect you will have some questions to ask after I'm through. And so, Let me just dwell on this a little bit more, and then I will let you ask the questions. Some people don't believe in the millennium, and some people wonder if the millennium is going to be 1,000 years or it's going to be 1,000 years. Some people say it's going to be 7,000 years. And there are a lot of theories as to what it's going to be. But if I wanted to know if a day has 24 hours, if I wanted to know that if tomorrow is going to have 24 hours, I could easily check to yesterday. You follow with me? If I want to know if tomorrow is going to have 24 hours, I could just check what happened yesterday. So, from what we see happen here, is that every one of these 7 days of God was 1,000 years up to now. Amen? The scripture said that God made light on a certain day, the great light, and Jesus came on that day when God made light. In other words, according to the 1,000-year plan. And we have the 1,000 years with the light here now for 2,000 years, or for 2 days. And God said in the third day, he will resurrect us and revive us. So you see, we have no problem really, as far as that is concerned. We know that since every other day was 1,000 years, that this day, this seventh day, will be 1,000 years. And so we are going up to this 1,000 year, this. And so somebody said, but Brother Dusil, we would have 27 years left. Amen. And I say, absolutely not. So what are you talking about? Absolutely not. This calendar was made of man. It was made contrary to God. God said the beast and the Antichrist would seek to change times and laws. And we know that that calendar is wrong. Ask any Bible student, whether he be Catholic, whether he be Protestant, or whether he just be a Mormon, or Jehovah Witness, ask anyone, and he'll tell you the same thing. What they won't agree on is how wrong it is. And we have conjecture of how wrong it is. But there is something you should consider if you're going to believe that it's wrong. There is something you should consider, that in your Bible, now come on, in your Bible, God counts 360 days to make a year, regardless of how much we count. Did you know that? In your Bible, just as a circle has 360 degrees, God counts 360 days to make a year. Now, if you ask me why, I don't know why. I just know that that's the way God counts time. And if God's counting time like that, then we are about 20 odd years out. So we would be about at the end of the 2000 year. Now, coming up to that. And God told us that we are in the tribulation, so that's giving us a little more idea of how near we are to the end. So we can have a discussion for a few minutes, and you can ask some questions pertaining to this or some other word of God. We'll be happy to have a little question time now. But tonight, you have just one point I wanted to get over, was the dimension of the Word of God. Let me say something about the dimensions. The Word of God has three dimensions on the surface, but there are three more that I could show you readily. You have here that, as I had drawn before. Good. Now, yes, can you see from where you are the other three dimensions? Good. Now, that would be here, we would have one, we would have two here, and three here, and opposite this one, which would be this. See, that's 1/8. You have a dimension that is the opposite of the word. For instance, if God says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, that word has an opposite. See if we can say it in the opposite. If you don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be lost. See what I'm saying? So there is a backside to the Word of God. And every time God gives a promise, there is something dangerous about the promise if you turn it the wrong way. If you don't accept the promise of God, then there is a backside to it. And so the devil dwells on the backside of God. If God said there is light, then you know right away that there is also darkness. So God said he made good and created evil. For every time he gives a word, no matter how good the word is, there is a backside to the word, which is the opposite to the word. So we will talk about those dimensions some other time. But I just wanted you to see them and to know them, two A, 3A. See? The opposite of 3 is 3A, the opposite of 2. Oh, where is 2? Oh yeah, opposite of 2 is 2A, and the opposite of 1 is 1A. So the devil and all his works dwell on the backside of God's word. Praise God. Now, is there any questions that we can ask pertaining to this word? Yeah, well, no, I think there are six sides.
Oh, six sides.
Yeah. So you see, that's why I came on the backside and show you what's happening on the backside. Let's take this word then, the Sabbath. The Sabbath, the natural Sabbath here, was offered to man. But there is the opposite to that, that if you don't accept, that the people in the Moses' time who did not accept the natural Sabbath, they had a consequence coming upon them because of that. Now in our time, the spiritual Sabbath is given, but 3/4 of the church are walking in 2A. You see, that it's over here. 3/4 of the church are going against the Sabbath that God has given them. The natural Sabbath, the spiritual Sabbath. So what's the result? Look at them, look at the churches. They are producing nothing. They are not being able to do what Jesus Christ said they would do if they had obeyed the Holy Ghost. So they are carrying on with their own programs. They are doing their own thing. All these churches are running their own programs. And they financially, some of them are doing well, but spiritually, they are losing out with God. You see, and they'll lose out until they become dead. And instead of becoming a part of the sons of God system, they'll become a part of the beast. Because the wages of sin is death. It must go till it comes to its final perfect point. So the perfect point of that would be in the beast system. And that's where the churches are going. Who want to obey the Sabbath, the Holy Ghost Sabbath. Any more questions? Well, praise the Lord.
This is the end of message, M. 125. The Holy Ghost Sabbath.